40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a gutted out Monday edition. Oh no, Dom's got COVID.
Oh, my God. Can you believe this, man? Partying all weekend. Come down with the Rona. Crudy, good to see you. Had a great time at the holiday party this weekend. Evan on the board, our fair audience. Happy days. Yeah, man. Steph was feeling a little under the weather, a little tired yesterday. I felt, you know, as normally as I would feel after a great party evening. But then she tested positive today, so I left work and ran down to the Walgreens, and yeah, I tested positive. But the good news is I have very few symptoms. I mean, it's just a little tired, but that's always the case on a Monday.
I'm still tired from Saturday night. Are you kidding me? That was a rager, man. You better go get tested, man.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, thank you to my partner, Sage, for putting on a hell of a good time for the Civic Media team. It's getting to be a big team, and apparently they're all going to have COVID soon. Thanks, Salvia. I'm also feeling just a little under the weather. I'm not attributing so much to COVID as either kidney stones or maybe just my kidneys shutting down entirely. I had some back cramps, whatever, lower back pain.
Maybe you should have a glass of water occasionally, Curtis. That'd be good for you.
I tried drinking lots of water and eating some fresh fruit last night just to make myself whole again. You know, like I was feeling a little less than human Sunday night, but now I feel, you know, ish, pretty good-ish.
Well,
relative to having COVID.
We gut it out. We get up, we show up, we get to the job and we do the work. That's what we do here.
Dom, let me tell you a little story. I was proud of my youngest. He's been away from wrestling. Did I tell you he's wrestling this year?
Yeah.
And, been a couple years and, he wasn't very good when he wrestled before, and I don't say it with any glee. I went to a lot of bad wrestling meets, but he's grown up. He hit puberty. He got in the weight room for like a year. Now this kid's 6'3", like 170, although he looks like a basketball player in a wrestling singlet. But, you know, ribs and arms and stuff, you know, the kid's he's strong. And he's benching about 225 at 170, not bad for you know, a skinny high school kid, but he gets on the mat and I had missed his first match. Didn't go so well. So I'm at his second match. I'd waited and I knew I had a Saturday meeting before the party and I had some stuff to do. So I'm like, man, I hope he has this match soon. And so anyways, he gets out there and he did well. He actually was up 8-5 in the match.
Nice.
And he had this one take. Can't quite. Hey, dude.
What happened there? Lost some sound. You're, here.
Yeah, there we are.
There we go.
You want to hear the story?
Yeah, man. Continue,
who's
please.
Stopping my story. Don't end my story. So anyways, I'm watching the kid wrestle. Another kid. You know, wrestling, it's all about the weight. They're equally matched. And so he's up 8-5 and late in the third period. And, you know, boom, the kid's got him on his back. He's exposed his back. And I'm worried my kid's about to get pinned in the last, 30, 20, 15, 10 seconds of the match. And he throws his kid off of like a Superman or whatever. But 3 points for the back points. Now it's tied up into regulation. They're going to overtime.
Oh.
And he's gassed. Oh, yeah, you can tell. I don't think he's taken a match to the end of the match the entire year. So anyways, he's in overtime. And my youngest, Karsten, was aggressive. He shot and he got 2 points for the takedown. And it was sudden death and it's over. And he could barely get his arm up. You know, when the ref goes to raise his arm. And I was talking to him and the ref came and talked to him out in the hallway. And the ref, I appreciated this about this fine referee. Because we all make mistakes occasionally. And the ref said, you know, I missed 2 points. I prematurely blew the whistle. You reversed the guy. You took him down. That's 2 plus 2. You should have won in regulation.
No.
Oh, dude. I mean, thank goodness he gutted it out. Like, yeah. We're doing today, Dom. But you could just see the look in his eye like he wanted to kill that ref. Yeah, right. Like, oh, my God. That, you know, and it only really adds up to like 7 minutes, but that had to be like the hardest 7 minutes
it
of his
is,
life.
Man. Wrestling is a hard, hard sport. Just that constant, because your entire body, I mean, every muscle in your body is you know, being leveraged to go against the other person. And it is brutal.
Why are you looking at me? I played basketball, man.
I wrestled as a young man, so I can appreciate it. That's some hard work.
I never wrestled. But I have worked. I'd like to think I worked a few hard days. I heard you worked on a farm for a short bit in high school, something like that.
Oh, man. Hardest worker I ever did.
But, you know, during the electoral campaign here in the great state of Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, you remember that guy lost to Tony Evers, got his ass handed to him, like 89,000 votes?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Well, part of the problem of the Michaels campaign might have been the attitude he displayed regarding, like, the work ethic of Wisconsinites. Evan, I think we got some on this, don't we? Ebone, help us out. Play Tim Michaels back in campaign days. I believe this was at the lone gubernatorial debate. Play it for the people when you get a minute. Ebone, Tim Michaels describing you lazy Wisconsinites.
We're going to get people off of their couches and get them back to work. We created an entire class of lazy people.
That's what he said about our friends and neighbors, Tom, right?
An entire class of lazy people. And he goes on to talk about the, you know, the COVID unemployment money and all this kind of stuff. And of course, he does acknowledge that was long gone by the time he talked about it. But yes, we are lazy. According to Tim Michaels, everybody else is lazy. Not to mention also we're almost at full employment here in the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, don't let that bother you criticizing your constituents, Mr. Michaels.
Well, apparently they've gotten a little leaky. There's some campaign leaks, Tom.
Uh-oh.
And someone leaked it to the hardest working journalist on Page 6, Dan Bice. Technically, over at the Journal Sentinel, we have a love-hate relationship, Dan and I. In his self-serving postmortem on his failed gubernatorial bid, construction executive Tim Michaels told the Milwaukee radio audience that he'd left it all on the field, Tom. You know, like my youngest.
Yeah.
We worked so incredibly hard, he told conservative talk radio host Jay Weber. My wife, Barbara, and I, we went all over the state. And if anyone doesn't believe that, just go on social media. Why would they doubt that? If anyone doesn't believe that, go on social media. I swear it happened. You can see we were making 6, 7, 8 stops a day everywhere from Superior to Kenosha and Sheboygan and everywhere in between. It's a lot of everywheres. But some people are not buying it, Tom, including sources who work closely with the Republican Party nominee in the months leading up to his loss to Democratic Governor Tony Evers on November 8th. They provided the Journal Sentinel, apparently Page Six, Dan Bice, with a copy of certain days from the Michaels campaign internal calendar of campaign events for late October and early November. Well, those were the final days, Dom.
That's the most important days.
And Dom, many of the days appear to be light with activities for a statewide candidate. Most of the events on the calendar were in and around Waukesha County, where Michaels lives. Well, to his credit, Dan, it's only part-time he lives there. And about 30 people had access to these private records. So Dan's kind of giving his source a little bit of cover. For example, on November 6th, 2 days before the general election. Oh, Dom, listen to this schedule. This sounds like one of yours. Michaels was scheduled to leave his village of Chiniqua home at 11:20 a.m. to go to Muskego to attend a Green Bay Packers watch party at Pop's Pub on Pioneer from noon to 1:30. The schedule says at halftime, he was scheduled to go to a different bar with former Packer, can we call him great or just former quarterback, Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, at DJ's Goalpost Sports Bar and Grill in Menominee Falls. The schedule says he was back home by 4:15 p.m. No other events are listed.
See, that's my kind of campaigning, man. Hit a couple of bars during the ball game. I mean, anybody can do that.
Well, Tom, just a little bit more here. 3 days earlier on November 3rd, Michaels started campaigning at 11:45, a robust schedule he keeps, and stops in Middleton and Forest in Dane County in a final event at the Pioneer Bar in Richfield in Washington County. According to the schedule, he was set to head home by 6. You know, early bird buffets and all that. On October 31st, a Monday, Michael started his day by going to Watertown at 12:30 p.m. for a campaign stop, followed by an endorsement meeting in Teresa and Dodge County and a final event at a bar in Hubertus in Washington County. I swear to God, you guys were riding together. The schedule says he was home at 5:30 p.m. Well, that's the difference, Tom. You close him down. He's never closed down Walski's, has he?
No, hell no. He does not have the bumper sticker. Crudy, on Friday, October 28th, his day of events started at 10:30 and ended at 4:35. He was scheduled to visit a Milwaukee school, stop in at the Republican Party offices in Beaver Dam, and attend a GOP rally in the FDL. Perhaps his lightest day was October 23rd, a Sunday. He was scheduled to go to Faith Baptist Church in Oak Creek from 10 to 1 p.m. Later in the day, he planned to spend 30 minutes at Grazing with Elephants, a Waukesha County Republican Party meet-and-greet event for candidates and the public, beginning at 4 p.m. The rest of his day was open. Apparently, Tommy Thompson voiced some frustration at the schedule. Michael's relatively easy schedule was a source of frustration to former Governor Tommy Thompson, according to a source very close to the man elected to the office 4 times. Thompson, known for his indefatigable campaigning, was an early supporter of Michaels and had several advisors helping the candidate. Thompson, 81, didn't feel just doing 3 or 4 events a day was enough to knock off Evers, the source said. In fact, Thompson confronted Michaels about the issue at one point, the source said. Michaels reassured Thompson, a Republican, that he was putting in the necessary work and hours. You can't run for governor and not be putting in 12 to 15 hours a day when you're a challenger, the Thompson source said. You have to work extremely hard. You have to be doing more than 3 or 4 events in order to hopefully defeat the incumbent governor.
Tom, you got to cut it out till the end, till the overtime, like the Badgers often do. They also won over the weekend. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
We're going to get people off of their couches and get them back to work. We created an entire class of lazy people.
Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me?
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 overnight, under cloudy skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely, 36. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday and Thursday, 42. Wednesday, 40. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join this fine program. Get off your lazy asses off the couch and call us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you're doing this despite a COVID infection.
Yes.
You are the typhoid Dom of talk radio this afternoon.
I'm a hardworking man. Apparently harder working than Tim Michaels running for governor. I mean, hell, I could go bar to bar to bar and run for governor. I mean, it's kind of what my idea would have been. But you got to do a little more than one or two stops, man. I mean, hitting the Packer game for the first half and second half at two different bars isn't really, you know, doing a whole lot of work, quote unquote.
Well, we've got more coverage from Page Six and Daniel Biestem. Let's give the audience a little bit more. They deserve it. In the general election, Michaels also spent about half of the nearly $12 million that he dropped in the GOP primary. Former President Donald Trump, who endorsed Michaels early on, told him on the night of the primary victory that Evers would be easy to knock off, saying the incumbent was very lazy. Unfortunately, so was the challenger, Dom. Another Michaels ally noted that Wisconsin Right Now, a conservative website, that ain't exactly a liberal rag, Dom, wrote Michaels wanted to keep bankers' hours while other Republican candidates were pounding the pavement. That's pretty generous, the Michaels ally said. It would be bankers' hours if the bank was open just a half a day, like on Veterans Day. The guy was a freaking dandy, said another Republican.
A freaking dandy. That's another Republican. These are allies. I mean, man, I hate to see what your enemies say about you.
Well, you know, they make the team look bad when the candidate's not willing to get off their dead ass, their lazy ass, and go campaign like they want a job. But in interviews last week, Michael said the calendar obtained by the Journal Sentinel listed only the events that all campaign staff needed to know about. He said it did include such activities as media interviews, fundraising, staff meetings, and spontaneous campaign events.
Free shots at the bar.
That's like when Martin O'Malley's team was doing YMCA out in front of the debate site in Des Moines. That was a spontaneous campaign event.
Yeah.
For instance, he recalled that on October 31st, he had a radio interview, a staff get-together, and an evening Main Street event. I bet that was at a bar. None of which was listed on the internal campaign calendar.
Well, hang on. A radio interview that goes, what, maybe 15 to a half hour generally? We know. We do a little radio here. A staff get-together.
It's a bad so interview. Like, so
a little pre-party at the office before you went to your Main Street event?
Which meant a bar on Main Street, right? He also got publicity for one of his late night events when a New York Times reporter was denied entry to the evening gathering at the Lake County Lake Country Patriots on October 20th. Wait for it, Dom. At a brewery in Oconomowoc.
My man.
You know, I'm a Wisconsinite, Dom. And you know I like to party with the best of them. Sometimes I like to party till they kick me out the door at the end of the night. But this guy did nothing but party his way through the primary, Dom. You know what I'm saying? This is not exactly an exemplary work record.
Crudy, here he goes on to say this. It is not an accurate reflection of our efforts, Michael said of the calendar provided to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I bet he used tell Dad that all the time. And Dad's like, what am I paying you for around here? Well, Dad, you know, my timesheet's not an accurate reflection of the efforts right. I put forth.
I have a lot of meetings at the Roman Coin, man. I'm very busy. As for the suggestions that he lacked drive in industry in the days leading up to the general election, Michael says these statements are completely false and not at all fair. I was home for dinner maybe once in the general election, Michael said. We worked our asses off.
You know, he brought Chinese back to the Chinookwa home damn near every... It's not like he was home... Anyways, go ahead.
A Michael's campaign staffer, who asked not to be named, agreed that the calendar reflected a selective list of events. The staffer said Michaels was the hardest working candidate in this election cycle. Several Republicans noted that Michaels turned down a chance to travel with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on his 10-day statewide bus tour of 60 stops across 3,000 miles leading up to the general election. Joining Johnson for parts of the tour were U.S. Rep. Ryan Stile, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ron McDaniel, and Florida Senator Rick Scott. Johnson ended up winning a third term, narrowly defeating Barnes. Sources said it was their understanding that Michaels took a pass on joining the bus tour because he hoped to be home every night. That was impossible, however, with all the bus stops in western Wisconsin. Johnson overnighted on the road several times during the tour. Michael said he actually joined up with Johnson on a few of the stops, but Michael said he had his own plan for where to go and whom to meet during the 10-day time frame. We did 70 stops in 10 days, Michael said. We did more stops than Ron Johnson did.
I doubt ben that. Vocal. I mean, maybe you went to 70 bars in 70 days, but that's hardly a tour of the world, my friend.
I mean, it is a pretty good cross-section, I got to be honest. Ben Vocal, a spokesman for Johnson, declined to throw Michaels under the campaign bus.
Throw him under the bus, Ben.
I'm not going to get into an argument about whether Ron Johnson or Tim Michaels ran a better campaign. State election records show Michaels underperformed Johnson in all 72 counties and 99 assembly districts. It's interesting that Michaels is coming under criticism from fellow Republicans for his pace late in the race. In September, Michaels, who won the GOP primary over Clayfish, criticized Evers for his work habits. He cited a story by Empower Wisconsin, a conservative website, that asserted the first-term Democrat governor rarely worked a 40-hour week, something Evers has disputed. I was born and raised to have a great work ethic, and I find satisfaction in work, Michael said in a September 29 interview with conservative talk show host Vicki McKenna. I think it makes you healthy, both physically and mentally. So I will have no guilt about making people work hard. He continued, I don't even know if Tony Evers knows what it means to get to work. Apparently, the numbers came out. He shows up at noon. He goes home at 3 o'clock. Well, how do you expect to have people that work for you, meaning all the state employees, to work any harder than he does? I will lead by example.
By going to the bar for both the first half and a separate bar for the second half.
Yeah, it's very, very important, very busy, and Packer game. I mean, you know. That just goes to show you how Wisconsinite he is. Not East Coast, you know, conservative. Wisconsin, Packer conservative, hitting a couple of bars during the game. One of us.
One Republican insider said the message from the gubernatorial election is clear. You got to show up. That's the bottom line.
Only at happy hours?
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Not the happy hour yet, but your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
I drink. And I know things.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Get your ass back to work Monday, Salvia edition. Well, get your ass back to work, Salvia Monday edition. I guess I misordered those. My mouth's not quite working yet. Wanted to talk about the issue of labor, working hard. And all the time we talk about the hardworking Americans, but they're not always hardworking. Or at least there are certain parts of the workforce that Americans don't want to do. When we were kids, Tom, we talked about working on the farm. You worked on a farm. I worked on a hobby farm, mostly digging post holes for an entire summer with like the old style, you know, two-hander. I'd listen to Bob Uecker doing a Brewer game, and I'd dig my 4, 5, 6, 7 post holes in a row. I'd sweat my ass off, and, you know, and that's how a kid made a little bit of money. But the kids today, or at least the understanding we have, is you know, broadly, they don't want to work in the agricultural fields. And this puts an interesting quandary, because a lot of rural America is where people have turned more conservative, right? But it's also where people need the labor to work on the farms. So I found a piece I'd like to share, contributing columnist Gary Abernathy at the Washington Post, from Trump Country, an argument for welcoming immigrants. Now, I've said this a few times, Don, but maybe we'll win a few people over if someone else has the opinion. Some members of the lame duck Congress are seeking a last-minute bipartisan deal on immigration reform before Republicans, including a contingent of immigration hardliners, take control of the House. As usual, Republicans are concerned with making sure any deal includes enhanced border security, build that wall, make Mexico pay for it, right, Dom? Well, Democrats are more focused on a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers and other undocumented migrants. But among those Americans advocating for legalizing some migrant status is a constituency often associated with Trump Country's Build That Wall crowd, Midwestern farmers. In October, the Ohio Capital Journal reported that Ohio farmers consider a deal for migrant farm laborers, and here's the quote, a matter of national security. Wow. Why? I'm sorry, what's that, Tom?
I just said, wow, that's a hell of a quote from conservative farmers.
Why? Because the United States, historically the largest agricultural exporter in the world, is beginning to buy more food product than it sells. According to the Agriculture Department, U.S. agricultural imports are expected to exceed exports next year and every year until 2031. A major reason? The labor force. Americans just simply are not interested in working in the field, in the greenhouse or the packing house, according to Bob Jones, vegetable grower in northern Ohio. We are either going to import workers or we're going to import food. The choice is really that simple. So that's what I would ask, Tom. What would we rather do? I'd rather have control of the supply chain. See what happens when you don't control the supply chains. I like it local. I like Victory Gardens. A little bit more here, Dom, then maybe you can help. Jones and others are urging Congress to pass the Farm Workplace Modernization Act, which would create certified agricultural worker status for migrant farm workers, allowing them to stay in the United States for 5.5 years and apply for permanent resident status after certain requirements are met. The House has passed the bill, and the Post reported last week that Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat from Colorado, and Mike Crapo, Republican from Idaho, were working to advance the bill in the Senate. When I was growing up, according to the author Abernathy, when I was growing up in the southern Ohio farm in the 1960s and early 70s, farmers had little trouble finding help. When it was time to bale hay, for instance, those with modest operations could easily collect kids from neighboring farms, pay us $2-3 an hour, the equivalent of $17 or $18 today, and count on our help for a few days. Farmers plant thousands of acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat and other crops, along with raising cattle, sheep, or hogs, usually employed year-round help, which was easy to find from a pool of willing workers.
Curdy, but as Jones indicated, Americans increasingly aren't, for a variety of reasons, as willing to work in jobs requiring strenuous manual labor, often outdoors in the heat or cold. Sons or daughters who at one time could be expected to take over the family farm are pursuing other career paths. These trends are leading many farmers to take the drastic measure of selling their land to wind and solar companies. And as good as that may be for sustainable energy, the world still needs to be fed. Pardon. Although a bill expanding legal agricultural migrant labor would help farmers in Ohio and other states, a broader bipartisan immigration fix being proposed by Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Tom Tillis would be more meaningful. The still-evolving bill is reported to include a path to citizenship for the Dreamers in exchange for $25 billion in funding for border security. For far too long, the immigration issue has been a political bludgeon for both sides, the right decrying dangerous open borders, the left lamenting honest immigrants forced to live in the shadows. Both sides are right and wrong. The United States has the responsibility to vet people seeking to enter the country. Any deal should provide effective new tools to secure the border, including finishing walls already under construction and providing more border agents, but also recognize that even if people here illegally should, by all rights, be rounded up and shipped out, that's unfeasible. A more reasonable solution would be to agree to a pathway to legality for those already here, not those coming illegally in the future, including eventual permanent residency or citizenship, so millions of workers could thrive as tax-paying citizens moving from the shadows to the daylight. And that should be coupled with making legal immigration easier and faster to make the path more attractive. Finally, there's this. Solving the immigration dilemma is the right thing to do. Despite a focus by the right on bad actors who enter the United States for nefarious reasons, and those concerns are sometimes valid, the overwhelming majority of migrants come here for a better life for themselves and their families. They risk their lives to escape hopeless futures and travel through perilous terrain. When people want to come here that badly and are willing to work for us in jobs we desperately need to fill, can't we find a way to let them in? Question mark. An opinion piece, Gary Abernathy at the Washington Post. And let me just get a little background here from my farm. My neighbor, big farm family, and I had like 15 kids, something like that. And one of my great friends growing up, Marty, was the youngest of them all, and he was a year older than me. And as soon as he turned 18, he still lived in the farmhouse for a little bit, but he was out. I mean, he went and got a job. He wanted nothing to do with that farm. And so that my senior year, because he was a year older than me, that last year in school is when I filled that position and worked, 5 o'clock every morning before I went to school to go milk the cows and sometimes at night, depending on what the needs were. But no, there's a lot of that. And even the brothers that were still there, that land's all gone now. I mean, they sold the land. It's been, developed into other properties. It's a park. They leased some of it out. I mean, that is a perfect example of people just moving away from that industry. It's a hard, hard job.
And here in the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin has led the nation in farm bankruptcies. As recently as 2021, as recently as last year, just a little bit of the reporting from Spectrum One, then we'll get to the phones. And Andy, be patient. You can be first in the queue. Just be patient. 844-967-2789. Be patient. Like Andy, we'll get to you as well. Wisconsin, once again, leads the nation in farm bankruptcies, according to the data from the American Farm Bureau Federation. Wisconsin had 69 bankruptcies in total, almost double the state with the second most. Kansas had 35. Western Wisconsin, that's the third congressional district, right? WRCO, WRCE land, you can hear us there. Western Wisconsin had more than any other region with 39. It also has more bankruptcies than any other region over the past decade with 255. As a state, Wisconsin has seen 401. Again, we're talking about farm bankruptcies in the last decade. In total, Wisconsin had 12 more farm bankruptcies in 2020 than 19. Nationwide, there were 43 fewer bankruptcies. And Wisconsin also lost 260 dairy farms in 2020, 1 year, according to USDA data. Those aren't necessarily lost to bankruptcy, but oftentimes farmers selling herds and getting out of the industry. From 19 to 2020, Wisconsin lost 818 dairy farms. Starting to talk about a significant number. And, I hear former gubernatorial candidate, loser, Tim Michaels, talking about lazy Wisconsinites until, of course, we examine his own schedule. But I would say right here in the great state of Wisconsin, we have talked about this on the show before, Dom. We need to be more embracive of immigrant labor. We need to stop villainizing people willing to come here and frickin' work hard, especially in the dairy industry. This is the dairy state, people. I want my cheese curds. Let them in. 844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam. You're a hardworking guy, Andy. At least used to be. How you been?
Hey, Andy.
Not bad. Well, one little funny clip or quip about poor Tim Michaels. He did come to Beaver Dam twice, being that Michaels is in Dodge County.
Did he go to Johnny's Bar?
No, that was not make Johnny's Bar. But he was up at a place on the other side of town, about four blocks from Apache Stainless, called Cocktails with Mark Bourne. He did that up there. And then he did go to the one of the local grocery stores. 100 people showed up with in the, what you call it, Ron Johnson green bus. So he at least had Dodge County covered, but I would believe he didn't really do much else statewide on the level of anybody that really wanted that job bad. And as far as dairy cattle are, Dodge County was one of the highest places for dairy cows, you know, like even as little as 10, 15 years ago. But one by one, farmers got bought out. And what you have now is large herds in freestall barns. And they need those Hispanic guys to milk these cows. There's a lot of automation, but you know, you're got larger herds being put together where all the small guys are long history. You know, their son didn't want any part of it, whatever. So like you guys talk about up in the Fox River Valley, you know, they're as far as that post hole digging, I tried digging holes for a pole barn in high school in the 60s. Every time I dig a hole, I hit a big old rock with this other guy. And the guy says, oh, you guys ain't putting much out for a buck and a quarter. And we said, hey, man, go ahead. Go ahead. But anyway, just a little feedback. But no Johnny's Lounge. Sorry, but what can you say?
You know, that's why the man didn't win. He didn't hit all the available bars and restaurants.
Hey, man, I think that's all you really need to do. Don't even hit, you need to hit the churches. Just hit the bars and a few ball games. You'll be just fine.
Andy,
the Badger Herald reported last year, Crudy, in Wisconsin, 40% of the dairy workers in Wisconsin are migrants. And the Wisconsin State Journal estimate that 90% of the state's migrant dairy workers are undocumented. So 90% of the 40% of total workers are undocumented. And if you're employed as an undocumented migrant worker in you know, red counties, chances are you have a Republican breaking the law to pay the migrants that are undocumented here in the state of Wisconsin. And that is certainly untenable for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're paying into a system. If they're using false, you know, Social Security cards that they're never going to collect on. And number two, you know, the employers can hold that over their head in all sorts of different ways. So it would be a great idea, a logical, practical idea. Fix the broken immigration system. I hear from the right and from the left, everyone says it. Okay. Well, let's fix it. We recognize the problem. There's a couple of solutions, but let's not be rude about it. I mean, my grandfather came over from Sicily in Ellis Island. You know, there wasn't the kind of concern, perhaps maybe there was among some people, but the kind of concern that the Republicans are showing now.
Well, there were always white nationalists.
Well, right, exactly.
There just weren't strict immigration policies. There weren't quotas. There weren't caps. So everyone that came to Ellis Island effectively got in. Come back with us. If you dial up and your name ain't CJ, you'll probably get in. 844-967-2789. E-Bone lightly screening the calls. Yours could be next.
So folks, let's polka tonight and get...
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets law and order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 overnight under cloudy skies. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely, 36. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday and Thursday, 42. Wednesday, 40. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates. Doctor, my
eyes have seen the... And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, over the course of the weekend, Scott Walker, the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, made a claim of sorts. I paraphrase, but effectively said, you know, we're against big business, we're against big tech, we're for the little guys. And I'm thinking, you're the guy that crushed collective bargaining. You're the guy that crushed the public sector unions, the private sector unions. You're the guy that made it harder for the working stiff here in the great state of Wisconsin. And also, you're the son of a buck that came up with the bright idea of feeding a foreign corporation billions of dollars. Well, Don, we got an update on Foxconn. You ready for Foxconn?
Let's do it, baby.
We've catapulted into the 21st century thanks to the leadership of Scotty Wanker. The Foxconn development in Racine County remains a mystery to many in Wisconsin, but the Taiwan-based electronics company hit enough job and investment benchmarks to earn $8.57 million. And state subsidies. What they do? I don't know. What do they make? I don't know. Why are we paying them? I really couldn't tell you, but here's a little bit more, Dom. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation announced Foxconn created 768 eligible jobs and made a capital investment of $77.4 billion in 2021. That means the company hit eligible $3.5 billion in job creation related credits and 5.1 in capital investment credits. In April of 2021, that was just about a year and a half ago, Dom, the state revised its $2.85 billion contract with Foxconn to create, let's call them more realistic goals, including the creation of 1,454 jobs, about 11% of the original plan. So they scaled back the Wanker plan by about 90% because, of course, there was never a plan. There was a back of a napkin Hail Mary in an election year. Scott Walker
was all election ploy, and Walker got in on it, and so did Trump.
Also, under the revised agreement, Foxconn is expected to invest $672 million. Seems like a lot of money by the end of 2025 compared to the $10 billion that Scott Walker claimed they were going to invest. They've scaled that down a bit as well, Dom. That's under 10%. That's like 6.7% of their original $10 billion investment that he lied through his teeth about. Last year was the first year Foxconn qualified for any state tax credits since breaking ground in Mount Pleasant in 2018. In 2021, the company received $28.8 million in credits after investing $266 million at the site and creating 579 jobs during 2020, according to WEDC. The company now employs 768 workers, according to documents released Friday.
What would you say you do here? I mean, 768 workers? Remember how they bought all these buildings around the state, too, as some sort of, I don't know, effort to get tech into these different towns. And that was all bunk as well. And the Foxconn building, as far as I know, downtown Milwaukee is either sublet or empty.
But what about the local investment made in Foxconn, Dom? In addition to the state tax credits, local governments has spent millions of dollars on the project. From mid-17 through June of 22, the village of Mount Pleasant spent $167 million on vendors and contractors related to Foxconn, according to the village, and records obtained by the Journal Sentinel. Dom, what do you think the village of Mount Pleasant's going to get paid back on their investment?
Never. Crudy, this included costs related to purchasing homes through eminent domain from more than 100 homeowners, but not the actual cost of the properties. The sum also includes about $68 million for sewers and about $70 million for water work. Now, let's not forget, not only did Scott Walker and Donald Trump and the rest of these Republicans lie about what this was going to do, and I'll throw a couple of local Dems in there as well, this was never going to come to fruition. They used the power of the government, the heavy hand of eminent domain, to take people's homes, in some cases homes that they just built, for this $600 plus million boondoggle. Crudy, the village paid more than $152 million for 132 properties to make way for Foxconn, plus another almost $8 million in relocation costs. The $911 million special taxing district created by the village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County to pay for the local portion of the Foxconn project, including land acquisition and infrastructure upgrades. Village and county officials have continued to defend their decisions, saying the money spent will bring significant economic development and costs will be recouped.
They invested $911 million.
Yes,
it's a lot of dollars. So
almost
$1 billion. Yes, down by like six figures. But if you look at it, Dom, the entire investment of Foxconn is not going to be $10 billion anymore. It's only going to be $672 million, right? 6.7% of the inspected investment. So Foxconn is putting less money in this project than the village of Mount Pleasant is already committed. $911 million. How are you going to get paid back on $672 million in expected future investment and jobs and manufacturing where they apparently don't make anything? Or if they do, they're keeping it a big secret. That's the key to successful manufacturing, Dom. Don't tell anyone you're making something.
Crudy, they have, apparently, according to the reporting here at the Journal Sentinel, Foxconn has four buildings on its property, a nearly 1 million square foot advanced manufacturing, quote unquote.
What do they make there?
It's advanced. It's manufacturing. You don't need to worry your pretty little self about it, Crudy. Also, a 300,000 square foot smart manufacturing center.
What do they make there?
again, this is it's business. You don't worry yourself about it. And a 120,000 square foot multi-purpose building.
What do they do there?
It's multi-purpose. It's multi-purpose, man. There's lots of purpose. And finally, a 100-foot tall high-performance computing data center globe. You know, the big globe thing.
Well, now it all makes sense. I'm sorry I questioned them up until now. I mean, now that you've laid it out. One, steal underwear. Three, make profit.
Profit.
If Foxconn could just tell us what step two was.
And the good news is for, you know, the folks that they created down there, the locals that put this money in, if it goes belly up, the rest of the state of Wisconsin's on the hook for it. So, you know, we got that going for
us. Clawbacks, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, since it's a generational investment, Dom, it's not just the current generation, but also perhaps one or two future generations that will be paying for the Scotty Wanker boondoggle. That was Foxconn. And you as well, Mount Pleasant. You're listening right now on WAUK 540 AM. As they say, suck it, taxpayers.
We can destroy them by burning them, and we can destroy them with dragon glass.
Thank you, Mr. Fox.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck, and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.